Just for a few minutes tonight, I'd like us to consider some verses in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, we will look at these scripture. In this chapter, we'll look at a fair bit of the chapter, not in great detail tonight, but just to pull out a few thoughts that I trust will be an encouragement to you and a blessing to your heart. This morning we talked about God's someday. Said that God is going to someday judge the world, and His delay in doing that is His mercy and kindness toward man. And the Bible says that He is His long-suffering and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God's offer of salvation is extended to all. It's available to all, and He prolongs the judgment that He's going to bring about upon the earth. He's prolonging, waiting, drawing at the time frame out as long as He possibly can to give everyone the greatest opportunity to be saved, to come to knowledge of Himself. And that was a great blessing to think about that this morning, but also a challenge to realize that God someday will come, and it will catch many unaware, even though it should not, because His grace and mercy is so long extended towards us today. Tonight I'd like us to think about another someday, and that is the someday that we will get to be in the presence of our Lord in that beautiful place called heaven. Because we are saved, we have a wonderful someday to look forward to. We have a wonderful someday. I enjoy tonight. I enjoy singing together. I enjoy hearing testimonies. I enjoy going downstairs for some fellowship. And I believe that all three of those things will be part of what we enjoy in heaven. We're going to be singing in heaven. They sung a new song, the Bible tells us, in the book of Revelation. We're going to be fellowshipping together. I'm sure we'll be talking about how God saved us and glorifying and be part of our process of glorifying His name throughout all of eternity. And we'll be feasting around the marriage supper of the Lamb. So there you go. All three of those things together will be enjoyed in heaven. We don't know when we're going to get there. We don't know how we're going to get there. You say, wait a minute, what do you mean you don't know how we get there? We all know we have to go the same way through Jesus Christ, but we don't know whether we're going to get called up to heaven when the Lord comes back. The Bible talks about our blessed hope, or whether it will be through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't know which way it's going to be. But if you're saved here today, one day you can look forward to that someday that we will be forever with the Lord. I want us to just consider a few things about heaven, about the beautiful place called heaven. First of all, in verses 1 and 2, it's a prepared place. It says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The new heaven and the new earth, John describes them as descending out of heaven. And this new Jerusalem descending out of heaven, and he said it was prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. A place prepared. What does preparation show? Preparation shows concern and care, doesn't it? If you care to prepare something, it's not just you throw it together. You say, I'm preparing this because I care about who it's for. I care about what I'm doing. And so you prepare. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That place is a prepared place. John saw, he heard those words of Jesus, and now here, later on, he sees this new Jerusalem coming down prepared. And how is it prepared? It's prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, those of us who are married and remember that day when our bride walked down the aisle to where we were waiting at the front, we say they were prepared, and that was, in my mind, that's a picture of beauty. It's a picture of love. It's a picture of that awesome, that time. And so John describes it being that way. He said it's the city of New Jerusalem was prepared as a bride for her husband. What a beautiful picture that is. It's a picture of beauty. Everything done right. The bride wants to look perfect for her husband to take his breath away. Heaven is prepared for the saints. It's a prepared place. It's also, notice the presence in that place. In verse number 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He shall dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. As much as it will be a beautiful place in the sense of its preparation, the presence of God is what will make heaven, heaven. the presence of God Himself. Here we live with the presence of God. Janetta alluded to that in her testimony when she said, I tell people I'm never alone. God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's always with us. He dwells within us. Jesus came to dwell with man. Remember, His name shall be Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. But one day we will be with God. We will be where God is. God now indwells us and He never leaves us. But oh, the fullness of dwelling with God. As opposed to Him dwelling within us, we will dwell in His presence. We know His presence. If you're saved here today, you know what it means to know God is with you and to sense His presence, to know that you can pray to Him and read His Word and He speaks to your heart. But can you imagine what it's going to be like to be in His presence? To be in the very presence of God. It'll be an awesome thing. It'll be a wonderful thing. And the presence of heaven, it will be God Himself. But look at the peace of that place called heaven in verses 4-7. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. What a peaceful place heaven's going to be. When you read these verses, when you see what God describes it as being, what a peaceful place, everything that takes away peace from this life will be gone from heaven. And heaven will be a place of peace. All tears will be wiped away from our eyes once and for all. My, how this life has sorrows that bring tears to our eyes. There'll be no sorrow there. That's what it says in this verse. And neither shall be there be no more sorrow. No disappointments. No emotional pain. As we'll get to in a moment, no physical pain. But no disappointments or emotional pain to cause us sorrow, the upsets of this life for many, wayward loved ones, harsh words spoken, broken hearts. But all these sorrows will be a thing of the past. There'll be no sorrow there. There'll be no more pain. All the physical discomforts we face here will be a thing of the past there. No more teeth to be extracted. No more banging the wrong nail with the hammer. No more tripping and falling on, slipping and falling on the ice that probably some of us will do this winter more than once. No more pain. No more pain. Can you imagine no more pain? No more aches and pains. No more, oh man, my back aches. Oh, I stubbed my toe. Ow. No, none of that. No call from the doctor. You need surgery to remove this. Well, what kind of painkillers can you give me? Well, they're going to wear off at some point. You'll feel the pain. But there'll be no more pain. What a wonderful thing. No more tears because nothing to cause the tears. No sorrow, no pain. It means no tears. All things will be made new. You remember how it was in the very beginning? God looked and said it was good. It was very good. That's heaven. He's going to make it new. I make all things new. And it will be that perfect place. It will make it a peaceful place. No disruptions to that peace. It'll be a refreshing place in its peacefulness because He says, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. What better than a cold glass of water when you're really thirsty and parched and dry? I mean, what better really than that? Say, well, I like some pop. I like some iced tea. But really when it comes right, a nice cold glass of water, boy, it just quenches the thirst, doesn't it? And the Lord says, I will give to him that is athirst of the water of life freely, an inexhaustible supply of pure water. And the fullness of our relationship as the children of God will be enjoyed because He says, I will be His God and He shall be my son. I love spending time with my kids. It's a joy most of the time. I love spending time with them. I enjoy that. I enjoy being a dad to be able to spend time with my children. Can you imagine what heaven's going to be like when we get to spend time with God? What a peaceful place. Verse 8 tells us that there won't be a parting of the place. There'll be some that won't meet there. There'll be some that won't be there because of the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of, with burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We look at that list and we could spend some time, but we'd say, well, those people don't deserve to be in heaven until we look at that last description of who will be in the lake of fire. It says all liars, and we look in the mirror and say, what one of us hasn't told a lie or two or more? We say we don't deserve to be in heaven any more than any of those people don't deserve to be in heaven. But of course the difference is they haven't had their sin forgiven. We'll look at to that in just a moment. But it will be a parting place. There will be some people who won't be there, and that ought to make us zealous to reach others while there is time to reach them here. But the priceless beauty of the place in verses 9 to 26, and we won't read all the verses, but the beauty of New Jerusalem is described in fuller detail here. It's a place that's described as having the glory of God. It's a place that is described as having that glory. Can you imagine a place where God's glory is the prominent thing? Here, sometimes we get a glimpse of the glory of God, don't we? God does something in our life, and it's just like, wow, what a great God, and we lift Him up and magnify Him, and it says, as it were, we get a glimpse of His glory. But there'll be nothing to obscure His glory. We'll see His glory in its fullness. Even in a greater way than Isaiah saw it back in Isaiah chapter 6. His beauty will shine forth in its fullness. The city is described as being walled and gated, fully protected and secure. A reminder of our full and complete salvation, secure in Jesus Christ. The names of the tribes of Israel are mentioned as being written, and then the mention of the names of the 12 apostles also written upon the gates. And we say it's a place for Old Testament saints and New Testament saints. Heaven. A beautiful picture that we have. The Lamb is there. His name is there. It says the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The precious jewels are mentioned as being the foundations of the walls. Gems that people drool over here will be underground there. Such is the glory of heaven, the beauty of heaven. The street made of gold, so pure, it's like transparent glass. Shine, 24 karat gold, probably purer than 24 karat gold. That's the purest we see it here, as far as I know, 24 karat. But there, pure gold. The glory of God, again, will literally light the city. The Bible tells us here that the Lamb will be the light of the city thereof. And after all those gems are mentioned, it says in verse 22, I saw no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Can you imagine that? What a beautiful picture there is of heaven here with the glory of God lighting the city. Never any shortage of light or power to lighten. No night there, we're told, because the Lamb is the light. Never any light bulbs that are blown out. I was downstairs in the fellowship hall just after the service this morning, and I noticed that one of those fluorescent tubes is kind of flickering and kind of, you know, we'll see it when we go downstairs tonight. And, you know, it's fading away. No broken light bulbs in heaven. The Lamb is the light. His glory will lighten it. No clouds to obscure the brightness. And though it has gates, the Bible says that the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. In other words, they never need to be shut. There's no night, and they won't be shut during the day. And it was a beautiful place that is described for us here. There's much desirable in it, that gold and those gems. There'll be no theft, nobody to steal it, nobody to come in those gates and take what is there. But look at the last verse of the chapter, and think about the people of that place tonight. It says in verse 27, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Who gets to live in such a place as heaven? Who gets to live in such a perfect environment? Surely such a beautiful place must be made for God, just God alone. Well, maybe His angels would be there with Him in that beautiful place. But no, we read there's more than that. There are those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They are there to enjoy that perfect place. What's the Lamb's Book of Life? It's the place where every person who has been born again's name is written down. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? It's the Lamb's Book because those written in it have their name written there because their sin was washed away by the blood of the Lamb. "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world," was John's cry. It's the Book of Life because those whose names are written in it will enjoy life eternal. Eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be the people of that place. Can you imagine sinners such as we get to go to such a place someday? Not because we deserve it, but because Jesus paid it all. He paved our way. He made our way. He made it possible, and He offers us salvation as a free gift to receive so that we can go to that beautiful place called heaven. It's a prepared place. It's a place of His presence, a peaceful place. It's a parted place. It's set apart. It's a place of priceless beauty, and it's a place for people written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name written there? The songwriter says, "Is my name written there on the page white and fair? In the book of thy kingdom is my name written there." Last verse he wrote, "Yes, my name's written there." I hope you can sing that too. Yes, my name is written there. Are you looking forward to being there someday? Well, God's given us this life, and He's given us an opportunity to get to know Him better, to serve Him, and to be prepared for the next stage, to be saved and to be ready to go to heaven. But we can look forward to heaven. But we also need to be busy in this life telling others about the opportunity that they have to go to, and living like a citizen of that place. Because the Bible tells us that we are ambassadors. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is a representative of one country living in another. Isn't that what we really are, Christian? We are citizens of heaven, but right now we're sojourning on the earth. But we're representing our heavenly country. And we need to be ambassadors of that beautiful place that God has said that we can go to by His grace, and by the offer of salvation that He gives to us. Someday it'll be an awesome place to be, won't it? Heaven. Between now and then, let's serve Him here. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You again that we can be here. Thank You, Lord, for these few thoughts from this chapter. Pray that they would thrill our hearts tonight. Lord, I pray that You would help us as we go downstairs to just enjoy fellowship together. Lord, being mindful of that fellowship we'll look forward to one day in heaven. Well, we'll sit down at the feet of our Lord and fellowship together with those who've gone before. Lord, those of Noah and Daniel and David and others, Lord, of the Old Testament saints, and those of the New Testament saints as Paul and the apostles, and those ordinary, everyday believers just like us. Lord, it'll be a wonderful time. Lord, I pray that we look forward to that day and that we busy ourselves telling others about that beautiful place called heaven. And Lord, I pray, bless our fellowship, bless the food that's been prepared to our use, and Lord, bless us as we go to our homes later on in safety. And Lord, may you be honored and glorified in all that we do and in our lives this week. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.